KIOS-FM presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, February 16, 2006, for broadcast at this time. Today's speaker will be Don Leuenberger, Vice Chancellor for Business and Finance at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. He'll talk about the medical center's plans for expansion, including the possible relocation of a section of Saddle Creek Road. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KIOS-FM, the Omaha Press Club, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Chris Allen, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Chris Allen from the University of Nebraska at Omaha School of Communication, and I have the pleasure of moderating this afternoon's Omaha Press Club Forum. Once a month, the Press Club, through its Education Committee, sponsors a forum of interest to club members and to the community at large. The forums are open to everyone. You don't have to be a member of the Press Club to attend. Some of the most interesting and vigorous building projects in Omaha over the past decade have taken place between 42nd Street and Saddle Creek Road, just south of Dodge. That's the campus of the University of Nebraska Medical Center. The beautiful new Durham Research Center has joined the spectacular LEED Transplant Center as two very visible manifestations of the growth. They join other initiatives that include a world-renowned cancer research and treatment program through the Epley Cancer Center and a growing expertise in bioterrorism along with just basic good medical care. Recently, UNMC has proposed a huge new project that would include moving Saddle Creek Road to the west, which has now received a $3 million federal grant for study. That would accomplish several things, and that's one of the topics that our guest will talk about today. Don Leuenberger has been Vice Chancellor of Business and Finance at UNMC since 1988, so he's been there for all of the recent building projects. Mr. Leuenberger is on the Board of Directors of United Way of the Midlands and Invest Nebraska. He is Chair of the United Way's Community Assessment Committee. In 1995, Governor Ben Nelson asked him to lead in the restructuring of the state's five health and human services agencies, now known as the Nebraska Health and Human Services System. Mr. Leuenberger returned to his post at UNMC in late 1997. He's here today to talk about what's been going on at the medical center and give us some insight into plans for the future. There are paper and pencil at each table, so we will leave time towards the end of the program for a question and answer period. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, please jot it down on the paper. We'll come around to pick it up, and we'll ask all the questions from up here on the podium because this is where the microphone is, so everybody will be able to hear. Please welcome our guest today, Vice Chancellor Don Leuenberger.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here today. I'm not delighted about the snowstorm. I just got back Tuesday night from Boston, so I've been through this once. And it looks something like this when you're up this high, although I think a little bit more fell there than here. I think they had 27 inches in New York, not quite as much where I was. What I'm going to go through with you today is a preliminary plan, and I want to stress that. Our master plan will go to the Board of Regents in September. What we have been engaged in is a planning process that stretches out for some unknown period of time. It takes into account all of our vision, our wishes, what people would like to see in the various colleges, what we think we can accomplish in terms of research and patient care. By the time this gets on the books officially in September, it may look a lot different than what I'm showing you today. But everything we've hoped for is on it at this point in time. I want to go through with you just a bit. Every organization has vision. Our vision has been fairly constant over the last 6 or 7 years, and it's an important part of the planning process. It expresses what we wish to be and what we are striving to be. It's an expansionist type of vision, but we intend to deliver state-of-the-art health care. We want to prepare the best educated health professionals and scientists. We want to rank among the leading research centers in the nation and in the world, and we want to advance our historic commitment to community health, and we want to embrace the richness of diversity. One thing that is differentiates UNMC as a professional campus, which largely caters to professional students and graduate schools, perhaps from other campuses, is the emphasis on research. Research is really the driver for world-class education and world-class clinical care. Without that research base, both instruction and clinical care, the types of things that we're able to teach and what we're able to do clinically would suffer. So research is really the underpinning for our other activities. We have done an assessment of where we stand in research to simply test the feasibility of our aspirations, if you will. In terms of collaboration and critical mass, these are essential for a world-class research program. Critical mass really has to do with not having one or two researchers, but really the critical mass in interdisciplinary research, which in biomedical research is where things are going. They're not limited to the old departments of biochemistry or genetics or those sorts of things. They are team-based, they're interdisciplinary, and we recruit to that model. Omaha is a fabulous place to recruit to. We recruit worldwide. We recruit from Johns Hopkins, we recruit from Boston, we recruit from Stanford, we recruit from London, Shanghai, you name it, we have that group there at the Med Center. Omaha is a marvelous place to recruit to, and we have found that people who live here, bring their families here, tend to stay here as well. Also, the quality of trainees. This is something that we're very much concerned in. To put this in perspective, over the last 6 years, with the budget cuts that we experienced for 4 years, we lost about $11 million in state funds. We have grown by a net of 600 FTE, all of that in research, 500 of them into the new Durham Research Center that we built, that opened up a few years ago. That building now, by the way, has $50 million of externally funded research. By externally funded, I mean outside the borders of the state of Nebraska. Competitively gotten, peer-reviewed research. That current total is about $50 million in the Durham Research Center alone on campus. The quality of trainees are the people who go in and do the work as postdocs, as graduate students, or as healthcare professionals in those buildings. Infrastructure is very, very important, and we feel that we have quality infrastructure. The Durham Research Center is state of the art. The IT that went in there was not decided on until the building was about built. So we had the latest information technology in the building. It's flexible. We've patented, by the way, lab bench layout. It's being used around the world right now because it's flexible, it's team-based, and it provides an opportunity for researchers to come in without hard walls and expand or contract their lab space as their research grants grow, as their collaborations grow, or on the other hand, as they diminish. We feel that given the experience of other academic health science centers, of which there are about 110 in the United States, that once we reach that $100 million threshold of externally funded research annually, that it becomes self-sustaining, that we have the critical mass we need to maintain it. When I started on the campus in 1988, UNMC was about 4,000 employees, including the hospital. Today, we're 4,230 as of August 2005. We may be a little bit more right now. That does not include any hospital personnel. The hospital was merged, if you remember, in 1997 with Clarkson Hospital. That now constitutes the Nebraska Medical Center. So you can see there are almost 10,000 employees on that campus today. When we started our expansion on campus, it became very evident to us that we were having a major impact on surrounding neighborhoods. So we entered into an agreement with Mutual of Omaha, who also has employees in those neighborhoods and is very much interested in maintaining their presence in Midtown Omaha, to start looking at the impacts we were having and whether or not there was neighborhood interest, business interest, and, of course, institutional interest in the Midtown Omaha having its own identity, having an impact in terms of where it was going, in terms of preserving its neighborhood. It became important to us, quite frankly, because of the number of people we're hiring. Having a vibrant, lively Midtown Omaha is a major attractor. When we're hiring right now, given turnover, about 600 to 700 new FTE a year. Not everybody wants to live in Elkhorn. Not everybody can afford to live out in West Omaha. Many are interested in living in an urban environment. We felt it was to our benefit. Neighborhoods agreed. Local businesses agreed. Destination Midtown was born. Right now, as we look at the Saddle Creek issue, we start looking more to the west. Again, you have neighborhoods that are in good condition. They are major housing opportunities as we begin to hire people. We have a number of employees living in those areas, and we are looking at expanding the scope of that kind of study to the west as part of the Saddle Creek Initiative. And this is where we look at our impact area in terms of the kinds of economic impacts, neighborhood impacts, and business impacts we have simply because of the traffic we bring into the area. If you think about 10,000 employees arriving each day, if you think about 3,000 students that live in the neighborhoods, largely graduate students, many with families, and if you think about the goods and services that we purchase, where people live, where people go for entertainment, those kinds of things, what we do on the Med Center campus has a major impact on how those neighborhoods develop, respond, are preserved, traffic patterns, all those kinds of things. The thing that I didn't mention, however, is the clinic and the hospital themselves bring major, large numbers of people on campus. 78,000 cars a day come onto the medical center campus. 45,000 want to be there. The other 30,000 are traveling through because of some of the difficulties in the roadways in north and south traffic patterns in Omaha. We thought everybody was coming from the west, going down 42nd Street or Saddle Creek to go east. What we found out is just the opposite. People are coming up from the south and going west on Dodge. They can't get there on Saddle Creek because there's no left turn lane on 42nd to get onto Leavenworth to go to Saddle Creek to go to Dodge. So they tend to come down 42nd Street, turn down Emily. They are a major traffic issue on the campus. And so that's part of the reason that we're interested all of a sudden in transportation routes. We found out where people are coming from, and where we sit is a major east or north-south bridge for traffic. We have designed the campus in terms of zones. It's very important for us to zone things. People work together in interdisciplinary teams of students and faculty clinically, in terms of the academic enterprise, and in terms of the research enterprise. Largely, that area that is to the east of 42nd Street, including the buildings immediately adjacent to 42nd Street on the west, is really education. It's undergraduate education. There's a lot of graduate education that goes on in that area. The center of campus is really the heart of the clinical enterprise. It's where the outpatient clinics are. It's where the inpatient hospitals are. It's where all of the machinery is located. And it's a major north-south transportation route on campus that's linked by overhead walkways and underground tunnels and all those sorts of things. The west part of campus is really emerging as the research part of campus. It's where the Durham Research Center is. It's where the second Durham Research Center goes. And it really provides us with our only opportunities for expansion. We're centered in downtown or midtown Omaha. We have been there now for 125 years. I don't think we're going anywhere. We'll be there for another 100 years. And this is typical, by the way, for health science centers. They don't have large green spaces. There aren't soccer fields. There aren't baseball diamonds. We don't have athletic teams, although we do sponsor a bicycle team. I'll get that pitch in there a little bit as a bicycler. But we tend to build buildings right next to each other. And so land becomes very valuable. Time in transit for a clinician who's also a researcher moving between lab and bedside becomes very, very important. It tends to shove all of your support activities and parking and all those sorts of things to the periphery of campus. And so a lot of things that we're doing now, like purchasing the commercial federal property, is simply to move the administrative infrastructure again further and further to the periphery of campus as we build interior parts for clinical research and health science education. But that's kind of how we've zoned the campus. The zoning is very important because of the different services that these different sectors require. Getting materials into the clinical part here really requires it not to be spread out all over. Wayfinding becomes very, very important. If you're there for a hospital visit or a clinic visit, it's an easy place to get lost in. I don't go down in the tunnels anymore because I was out of them for 8 or 9 years, and I can't find my way around. Somebody just entering into that campus becomes difficult. The other thing is, too, that we no longer maintain warehouses. So easy access to people who bring in supplies is very important. The hospital consumes 10,000 different items a day. They are supplied with a 99% fill rate within 24 hours. So there are other people constantly bringing surgical packets, pharmaceuticals, other kinds of hospital supplies on campus continuously. There are some 22,000 mice on campus, the mice that we bought, not the other mice, but the mice that we take care of, that we deliberately take care of on campus, some of which cost as much as $250,000. These are genetically derived mice. So security considerations in this become very, very important. If you want to test a particular cancer drug or whatever, you either have to add a gene to an animal model or subtract one. And doing that and getting a line that will perpetuate itself so you do those tests is not an inexpensive proposition. Researchers who come on campus bring animals from them from wherever they come from. They're part of their research project so that they don't infect other populations on campus. We actually have isolation facilities where those animals are brought into. That happens to be down in the old PPD building in the basement there. This has got to be the only major computer center in Omaha that also has a mouse facility underneath it. And we're also there able to genetically re-derive those mice within that facility for research purposes. So this type of facility down here requires a different kind of level of services brought in than the education, the traditional education part or the clinical part. This is why we've divided up campus, not just because it's a logical thing, but because different services are required in different parts of the campus. We're going to build a second Durham Research Center. It may not be named Durham Research Center, but Chuck Durham is still a major contributor to the second center. It'll be 200, it will look a lot like the first one, 242,000 square feet, 96 laboratories. This particular building will also house a couple floors of biodefense. You may not know this, but University of Nebraska Medical Center was designated by the CDC about 3 years before 9/11 as a biodefense center. It didn't mean anything to anybody at that particular point in time. When the anthrax scare hit the East Coast after 9/11, though, it was UNMC staff that went back to Washington, D.C. and coordinated the lab testing all along the East Coast on anthrax. We are a major biodefense center. This particular building will hold those biodefense activities that are currently going on right now. $74 million for a high-tech building. 40% of that cost is in the mechanical system alone. That building, 242,000 square feet, the air will be changed 100% every 6 minutes, heated and cooled to within 1 degree, humidity held constant. So if you can think about bringing in and blowing out 242,000 square foot of air every 6 minutes and not creating a tornado that everybody has to walk through, that's the kind of high tech that goes into this kind of facility, in addition to all the other kinds of bacterial and viral resistant surfaces, the IT, everything else that goes into it. The building's a machine, and it's a very expensive one. This building will allow us to reach our goal of over $100 million a year of externally funded research. What makes it possible to recruit those researchers is the Tobacco Settlement Fund. Governor Johans put aside $12 million a year. It is divided up competitively based upon your success in competing for federal external NIH grants between UNL, UNMC, Creighton, and Boys Town. UNMC gets over 50% of those monies, and that's what we reuse for recruitment packages for researchers to come in. We're also building on the education side what really is the first home for the College of Medicine since the first building that was built on that campus, which survived the 1913 Omaha tornado. So we've not had a home for the College of Medicine since that 1913 building. This is going to be a spectacular building. Currently, it's under construction. We're putting in the foundation and pilings right now. It will provide a whole host of educational technology that now is spread across campus, and will also begin to allow us more productively to train different sectors of health professions together. We don't necessarily train nurses, pharmacists, dentists, physicians, physician assistants, all in isolated, separate areas and subjects. They work together as teams in the community. They need to train together, and we do problem-based training. This allows us to do simulation. It allows us to export that. We have a very highly developed distance learning program in the health sciences and in nursing that we use throughout Nebraska. If you want a master's degree in nursing, you don't have to come to Omaha or Lincoln. You don't have to leave your job. You can get it. We're also using that same technology to provide the same services now in Jordan, in Shanghai, in India. We have attempted to in Iraq, in Sulaymaniyah, which is in the Kurdish area, where much of the instruction is in English language. So this building gives us the opportunity to deliver health sciences education worldwide. It's a beautiful building, and it actually goes up the hill and has entrances on three different levels. As you drive up 42nd Street from the south going north, this is what you'll see. I'm not an expert. The chancellor is. The facade is Art Deco. He is extraordinarily proud of the Art Deco part of that. It will really transform that corner. If you remember, that's where the old CSI building stood. It started out at the turn of the last century as an orphanage, was taken over by the Child Savings Institute in the 50s. They're in new quarters. We've used it as a office building for a number of years. It's now gone. And this is what replaces it. One of the things we're going to do in the project to address some of the traffic issues we've been talking about is redo 42nd Street. I know there's a lot of interest in Saddle Creek, and I'll get to that, but 42nd Street, because we have about 8,000 to 9,000 people crossing 42nd Street every day, and traffic along 42nd Street is carrying that 78,000 cars, or a good portion of them every day, and at considerable speed sometimes, we're going to try to calm that traffic. Actually, what we're talking about doing is the intersection of 42nd and Leavenworth. That will actually be redone to allow a left turn onto Leavenworth so that it won't be necessary to come down and go down Emily to get to Saddle Creek or go to Dodge or to go to Farnham or Douglas. It will also then, starting there at 42nd and Leavenworth, move into three lanes with a center turning lane. What this will allow us to do is calm traffic. We cannot put up speed bumps. We have ambulances. The two don't work together very well sometimes. Otherwise, they'd have really big speed bumps, but you can't do that. But right now, it's very, very difficult to do some turning and that type of thing in there. There are times of the day when that traffic isn't very heavy. Going to three lanes, the city feels, will achieve our objective of calming that traffic without necessarily interrupting any of the people whose destination is off to the west along Dodge. It also gives us an opportunity to do something that we don't have much of on a Health Science Center campus, and that is to have trees and a nice walkway. So actually what we'll do is we will put in new pedestrian lighting, new street lighting, plant trees, put brick pavers in, and actually be able to identify that as a campus and not a through street. And that becomes very critical to us. We have under construction right now the new Center for Health Science Education. And we are starting construction, hopefully this fall, on the second Research Center of Excellence, too. But there are some other things that we've been planning at the Med Center. To get to that level of $200 million of funded research, we probably need at least two more Durham research centers. We are right now full in the Durham Outpatient Center. And so we are looking, in addition to the community clinics that we have, some additional clinic space that's accessible from the campus. Anybody who thinks that we are taking Pauly's, I'll be long retired by then, so that's not on my agenda. In fact, I think this will come off of there long before the region see it, so we don't need to get into that. We are very concerned about two things, and two things are likely to take place before their third research center is started. One is geriatrics. This simply is part of the fact that we do not have a home that brings in interdisciplinary research or interdisciplinary clinical care to a geriatric population. It's a growing population in this state. This state happens to have one of the oldest populations on average in the U.S. I don't think it is the oldest. I think Florida is. But when I was Secretary of HHS, the population over 82 in the state of Nebraska was the fastest growing population cohort in the state. So geriatrics is a very important thing for us to start looking at. It's also part of our programs in cancer, Alzheimer's and neurobiology, all of those sorts of things. The other thing that we are looking at, quite frankly, is public health. Nebraska does not have a school of public health. Until the tobacco settlement monies went into creating new county health departments. There are only a few health departments in the state of Nebraska. Public health was often looked at as industrial health, fluoridation, those types of things. But with emerging diseases around aging, around obesity, around epidemiology, around biodefense, whether from natural resources such as bird flu, West Nile, SARS, or from deliberately introduced types of terrorism weapons, all of these kinds of public health issues that are emerging, frankly, need a research focus and a training focus. About 4 years ago, we started a joint program with UNO in a master's degree in public health. We're having our first graduating class. I can't recall how many individuals are in that, 7 or 8. It's a very small number. In the Midwest, there are very few schools of public health. So we are looking at public health, both academically and research, as our next major initiative together with geriatrics. That would probably go contiguous with the other health science professional degrees that we have, and would probably be done in conjunction with the other campuses in the University of Nebraska system. At this point in time, we believe the faculty is present and available. It simply lacks a site where that can take place. The other major areas of growth are, as we have identified them as our priority areas, are cancer, transplant biology, neurobiology, cardiovascular diseases, and biodefense. Those have been our 5 primary areas of excellence since we began strategic planning. They haven't changed. About half the revenues that come into the campus are really cancer and transplant related. Right now, the revenues on campus from both sides, clinical and academic, are about $1.1 billion annually. About $97 million of that is tax money from the state of Nebraska, to give you an idea of what kinds of monies are generated on the campus. And as I said, about half of that is cancer or transplant related. So cancer is a big focus of research. One of our goals is to create a comprehensive cancer center designated by the National Cancer Institute. We have been a research center since the Epley Cancer Center was created. We are now a clinical cancer center that's NCI designated as well. The comprehensive cancer center status makes us one of a very small elite group in the United States, but also dedicates more NIH money to the campus for campus research and clinical care. The other things that we are looking at, quite frankly, are an expansion to the College of Nursing. That's an expansion not for education, but largely for research. Right now, nursing across the country is in a very dire position. The average age of nursing faculty in the United States is well over 50. The average age of nursing faculty at UNMC is 57. One of the things we're attempting to do is train new faculty. New faculty that's going to be needed to train nurses of the future. And so this particular setting back here, when you start hiring PhDs, is to add the research component to the nursing, clinical excellence, educational excellence. It will also allow us to expand our nursing undergraduate and graduate population. This is the only PhD nursing setting in the state of Nebraska. We are, I think, the second or third largest customer for OPPD. We have the ability, and I'm going through this only for a reason that, as a political science major, the engineers made me memorize it. But on a daily basis, we switch boilers between natural gas and fuel oil. We have the ability to generate about 7 megawatts of electricity on campus. We sell electricity back to OPPD. We do the spot markets and other markets in buying natural gas and oil on a frequent basis. We store 700,000 gallons of oil on campus. That will last us about 20 days if there was some interruption in natural gas. These are some of the things, just characteristics of the campus. One of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit before we get into questions is technology transfer. Academic health science centers are capable of having a major economic impact in the city and state in which they reside. And they do this in a number of ways. We typically think about this as research, creating intellectual property, which generate patents, which bring up startup businesses, and that's economic development. And we do that. But actually, that's a very limiting way to look at economic impact. One of the things that we do is education. I was at a conference not long ago that described technology transfer that happens every spring at graduation. That's what we're doing. We're creating new knowledge, and we're graduating people that have that knowledge that go to work in the community, in the health professions, or in the laboratories, creating new knowledge. It results in patient care. University of Nebraska Medical Center is a major transplant center. Adult stem cell bone marrow transplant was created here in Omaha, and we are still one of the largest centers in the world doing that. We are still one of the largest liver transplant centers. We are one of four hospitals in the United States doing small bowel transplant, the other three being on the East Coast. So patient care means a lot. What kind of economic impact does that have in Omaha? The last we did a study, it was actually done by UNO, that with the economic impact of the liver transplant program, the bone marrow transplant program, the kidney transplant program was slightly over $1.4 billion over the life of that program, economic impact in Omaha. Public health. This is something that an academic health science center can have a major impact on. Consider Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is one of those diseases where the primary caregiver is not the hospital, it's not the clinician, it's the other family member who stays home. If you can delay the onset, if you can stabilize Alzheimer's at a level where the individual is still self-sufficient, you can add hours and hours and hours of workforce to the economy of Nebraska. It's just that simple. Patents, licenses, startups, industry partnerships, we see the kind of research that we are doing as not only resulting in startups. There are about 11 or 12 of them right now here in Omaha. One of them is actually making money. Biotech startups are not the easiest thing in the world to do, and Omaha is not the venture capital of the world. In fact, our major sources of venture capital are Europe, because the East Coast and West Coast venture markets have not yet found us. But the other thing we're interested in as well are industry partnerships. And more those kinds of industry collaborations are bringing jobs into Omaha. As we can combine our intellectual property with the intellectual property that a major pharmaceutical, medical device, a laboratory, or other kind of company has, they're more willing to establish that distribution center, that manufacturing center here in Omaha because of the continuing research and relationship with UNMC. And we are beginning to see that happen more and more frequently. I've been speaking on and on. I'd be happy to ask questions.
If you have some questions, jot them down on the paper that's provided there on the table. Somebody will come around and pick up any questions that you might have. I'll start off by asking, while we're waiting for the other ones to come up, are there any plans for development of the Exarban property with UNMC?
There are. In fact, something we've had on the books for some time is a bioengineering building that would be located next to PKI so that we have access both to the engineering and the IT faculty and the students there that would focus on new imaging technology. To do that, we've developed a partnership with the Fraunhofer Research Group in Germany. Fraunhofer is the largest privately owned research consortium in Europe in which they have put in intellectual property as well as we having done so that will be doing things in imaging, like marrying PET scan, CT, and ultrasound so that a surgeon can see with a laparoscopic tool in real time what the tool is doing without using X-ray. We're also going to do a project with them on a retinal implant that will restore vision if you've ever had vision and lost it. That will restore vision. We believe it's in testing right now. That's the kind of thing that would go in that particular structure. And we'd like to start that. We have had a space outlined for us as part of the development of the Oxarbon property to do that.
Let's get this one out of the way. Please diagram or explain in more detail Saddle Creek Road's relocation with flow of traffic from the from all directions.
Can I stick starting with north and south? I don't know where it comes in, east and west. Actually, the proposal is to move the Saddle Creek over to the old Union Pacific rail bed, which has not been built on and which we have been buying up over the last 10 years. We don't have all of it, but we've got a good part of it, and we've got a good part of the rest of it going up to Dodge when we bought the commercial federal property. The issue really is how you connect with Dodge Street. Now, any connection with Dodge Street's got to be better than the connection now. But if we really wanted to carry more traffic, that's really the issue, is the interconnection there. As long as you've got to dig up Saddle Creek to deal with the hydrology issues under there, moving it over to the old UP rail bed then begins to make some sense if you can also improve at the same time the interconnection with Dodge Street. People are coming up out of Bellevue. They're using the interstate. They want to get to West Dodge. That is the bulk of the traffic that's coming up there that is flowing through our campus and is then going west. By changing that intersection at Leavenworth to allow them to turn left and get onto Saddle Creek, that will relieve some of those that traffic only if they can get onto Dodge Street more conveniently than they can now. And so we see that as a major improvement. The other thing we see in there is the opportunity then for different kinds of commercial developments along that relocated Saddle Creek. They may be startups out of the Med Center. They may be new kinds of businesses that would serve a lot of the population that's coming into that Midtown area or west of the Midtown area into Dundee and elsewhere, which are very viable housing areas. They're part of the areas that we show when we hire people, when they're looking for new homes to buy, are there because it's convenient to the medical center, and with gas prices going up, people are interested in that now when they come from out of state.
Where will the money come from to pay for all these buildings?
Other than the $12 million of biodefense money that the state has dedicated to the research center to, it's been 30 years since we've had a state appropriation for a building on the Med Center campus. The last one was part of the College of Pharmacy. That money has come from private donors and from clinical revenues, and Omaha has been incredibly generous in building that campus. So all that development that you've seen has been privately financed.
What do you mean by biodefense? What does biodefense involve?
Biodefense is a nice word for dealing with issues about terrorism, except that presumably it's a little bit broader than that in the sense that it also deals with natural pathogens that might be brought into the country off of the Pacific Rim or out of Africa or wherever. We used to think that Nebraska, sitting here in the middle of the country, would have some kind of early warning when SARS or something like it hit either of the coasts and migrated in. Air traffic being what it is right now, that simply doesn't hold. There is no early warning system when those things enter the United States. So biodefense is a little bit broader term that brings into play those issues of naturally occurring pathogens.
So much of your research success depends on recruiting specialists in particular fields. What kind of specialists would you especially like to recruit?
One that brings a lot of money with them. Be very, very clear. Research grants travel with the researcher. When you hire a funded researcher, those research grants come with them, and they have a proven track record in the renewal of those grants. We recruit heavily in the five areas I told you about: transplant biology, neurobiology, cancer, cardiovascular disease, biodefense. But people come here for a couple different reasons. We're new enough in the research area that each of the old traditional departments is not heavily endowed, own their own equipment, do those sorts of things. We don't allow departments to own their own equipment. They're in core areas that everybody has access to. So if we have DNA analyzers, if we have confocal microscopes, all those kinds of things, cyclotrons, everybody has access to it, because what we're trying to promote is interdisciplinary research, interdisciplinary conversation. The Durham Research Center is not allocated by department. Research teams had to apply for entry to the Durham Research Center in a peer-reviewed process. They had to be funded, and they had to be NIH-funded, and they had to be multidisciplinary. So when you ask that, my first thing is, yes, this bring in lots of money. Secondly, filling out a team.
I have a question that I don't know if it's within your area of expertise or not, but I think given your background, it may be. When you were talking about the curriculum areas, one of the things that I noticed wasn't on there, and so let me ask, what role does a medical center, an education center like UNMC, play in healthcare costs and finding ways to hold down healthcare costs?
Let's talk about that part of healthcare costs that's not insurance companies and premiums, although that's the cost that you see, because that gets when Medicaid pays 60% of actual costs, not charges, somebody else is paying for that difference. And so you're seeing that show up in your healthcare bill as well. Obviously, historically, the biggest single impact on healthcare has been in the public health arena. Population-based health. Keep your weight down, exercise, be careful if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic, all those sorts of things. A health science center can be very, very important in that area. Do you absorb the vitamins you take in a pill, or should you go get it from food? Does C and E mean anything? Some of those things we don't know. But health science centers do those sorts of things. The second thing we do is in the area of survival rates. Now, survival rates add to expense. Let's keep that in mind. People who died 30 years ago are surviving today. They didn't have an expense 30 years ago. So part of medical expense that you're seeing is longer survival rates, those kinds of things. The issue has been in how you do things that are necessary to do those kinds of procedures, make the kind of drugs that make that survival possible cheaper. Are there new imaging devices other than MRIs? Can we do laparoscopic surgery rather than creating a major wound where you spend 3 or 4 days in the hospital recovering, where we could have you out that afternoon? The other thing we're doing is in pharmaceuticals, not just discovering new drugs that might be cheaper, but how do you make drugs? We have a project going on right now with the University of Nebraska at Lincoln Ag Campus, and that is to create human proteins in corn. If human proteins can be created in corn and grown and extracted, you are saving what might cost $10 might cost 2 cents in producing that kind of drug. We can do it in algae, and maybe we can link, one idea is to quite frankly link greenhouses next to ethanol plants where there's waste heat that will keep them going, because we can produce human protein in algae of different sorts. Those all go into a whole new different drug regimen that may provide cheaper and cheaper pharmaceuticals. So those are just some of the things that are going on.
We just have time for a couple more questions, and I have some really outstanding questions here. Are you able to do any form of stem cell research?
Yes, we are. Adult stem cell has been ongoing there. That question usually comes up with regard to embryonic stem cell. And we have permission of the regents, although we're not currently doing it, we have permission by the regents following the president's guidelines to do embryonic stem cell research with the stem cell lines that have been approved by the federal government. We have permission to do that.
What's the time frame for all of these buildings?
Right now, we're trying to project clinical needs and research needs out in a 20-year time frame. I suspect that the next three projects, other than the street projects, are going to be geriatrics, public health, and a third Durham Research Center largely dedicated to cancer. Those would be the next three projects. I can see the public health and the geriatric center starting within the next several years. Those don't require separately identified parcels of land. The third Durham Research Center, the second one won't be done until 2008. I suspect that we'll start on the third one somewhere in the neighborhood of 2010, 2011, be done and occupied 2012, 2013.
I'd like to thank our guests today, University of Nebraska Medical Center Vice Chancellor Don Leuenberger. Thanks also to KIOS Radio for airing the Omaha Press Club Noon Forum. Our next forum will be March 16th. Dave Kotok and Jeff Bundy of the Omaha World Herald will be here to talk about their experiences in Iraq covering that war, and we ask you all to please join us for that. Once again, our thanks to our guest today, Don Leuenberger.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's speaker was Don Leuenberger, Vice Chancellor for Business and Finance at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, February 16, 2006, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. If you'd like to attend future forums in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.